Hi, this is Emily.
And this is Maddie.
And this is Spill the Mead.
Folk Tales.
Yeah, buddy. Once upon a time, Emily's gonna throw something at Maddie.
She has like a little something up those big beautiful sleeves, by the way. She has like the flowy elf sleeves on,
yeah.
But it's also like a very 70s, like 60s look.
Thank you. I do have like a 70s vibe going on. Oh my gosh. Have you heard of the band Jungle?
No.
They have the most 70s vibe ever.
Listen, I love it.
It's amazing. I will have you listen to my favorite song of theirs after this. And that is why I look like this
today. I love it. I'm totally a late 60s, early 70s girl.
I've just like been getting really into that style just recently too. I love a good like bell sleeve, bell bottom, bells.
Oh yeah, the corduroy bell. Middle part.
Yes.
I love the 70s and like the late 60s with like those little headbands and that big hair and like the boots and the skirts.
Yes.
And I'm like, ugh.
That is so for us.
That's our era.
It's
like
beautiful.
If you had to pick the last 100 years of America to pop in.
Oh my
The 20s would be cool. The 50s, love all that, but like 60s, 70s,
yes,
right there. The
just
music.
Want to pop in just for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Don't want to stay there.
I'm
meant to live in this era of modern medicine, but back then, yeah, I'd like to pop in.
How cute!
Just look around.
Yeah, just have a little pixie poo.
Yeah, exactly.
Look cute. Yeah. Get on a Polaroid real quick for posterity.
Gosh, it'd be so cute.
Get back
go
to
shopping
our
a little.
Life of convenience.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and then absolutely come back here. Yeah. And get on my phone and watch some TikToks.
Yes, deliver sure. everything to my home. I'm not leaving.
Yes,
thank
exactly.
you.
Yay! Okay, so what I'm throwing at you is a letter.
Okay.
The last letter from Sullivan. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Baloo? Okay. Baloo?
Oh, it's already cute.
Yeah. So this was during the Civil War.
Okay. Oh, no.
He was on the Union side. Okay. God bless. And he was a major.
Okay.
And yeah, this is his last
Is this going to be sad?
Yes.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
Oh God. Is it to his wife?
Yes.
Fuck. Okay.
His last letter ever to his wife.
No.
He did like very shortly after this, he died.
Oh my
God. On the battlefield.
I already can't do it.
Yeah. I'm not going to elaborate anymore just in case one of us does an episode on him one day.
Okay.
So I will be reading the letter. It's a little bit longer, but oh my God, it's so good.
Oh,
it's so pretty.
No.
My very dear wife. Oh, by the way, his wife's name is Sarah.
Sarah.
And he also had two sons.
Oh.
Yep. Willie and Edgar.
Oh, Willie and Edgar.
Very cute. Okay.
Oh God.
My very dear wife, indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I shall be no more.
Oh my God, no.
Our movement may be one of a few days' duration and full of pleasure, and it may be one of severe conflict and death to me. Not my will, but thine. O God, be done. If it is necessary that I should fall on the battlefield for any country, I am ready. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter.
Wow.
This is the best person that's ever existed, maybe.
I was going to say, like, your husband writing this to you, the pride you would feel.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
Wow, that's my
and
man.
And, like, the fact
that, man.
Like, oh, he was fighting for the Union. Like,
yeah.
My man.
I'm ready to fucking die for it.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, no.
Yep. Yeah, I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged. Like, he's
yep.
believe in this.
Yep.
I know how strongly American civilization now leans upon the triumph of government, and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the revolution. And I'm willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt. But, my dear wife, I know that with my own joys, I lay down nearly all of yours and replace them in this life with care and sorrows, when, after having eaten for long years the bitter fruit of orphanage myself, I must offer it as their only sustenance to my dear little children.
No.
Is it weak or dishonorable, while the banner of my purpose floats calmly and proudly in the breeze, that my unbounded love for you, my darling wife and children, should struggle and fierce through useless contest with my love of country? I cannot describe to you my feelings on this calm summer night.
Oh, no.
When 2,000 men are sleeping around me, many of them enjoying the last, perhaps, before that of death, and I suspicious that death is creeping behind me.
Oh, my God, no. With his fatal dart. How did he know?
How did he know?
I don't like it.
Yeah. No. And communing with God, my country, and thee. I have sought most closely and diligently and often in my breast for a wrong motive in this hazarding the happiness of those I loved, and I could not find one. A pure love of my country and of the principles I have often advocated before the people, and the name of honor that I love more than I fear death, have called upon me, and I have obeyed. Okay.
God.
It gets
no,
so much harder.
What? No.
Sarah, my love for you is deathless.
Oh my God.
It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet my love of country comes over me like a strong wind and bears me irresistibly on with all those chains to the battlefield. The memories of all the blissful moments I've spent with you come crowding over me, and I feel most deeply grateful to God and you that I have enjoyed them so long, and how hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes of future years when, God willing, we might still have lived in love together and seen our boys grow up to honorable manhood around us.
Okay, yeah, I know. Well, no, that's it for me. That's it for me.
Yep.
There's one tear. We've broken the seal, yeah. So it's over now.
Cool. I know I have but few claims upon divine providence, but something whispers to me, perhaps it is the wafted prayer of my little Edgar, that I shall return to my loved ones unharmed. If I do not, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I love you, nor that, when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name.
No. Nope. Okay. Nope. I'm done. I'm fucking done. What is this, Emily?
I'm so sorry, but it's so
beautiful. Why do this? It's supposed to be folktales.
I know, but it needed to be read.
Oh my God.
It's so beautiful. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Forgive my many faults and the many pains I've caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have oftentimes been. How gladly would I wash out with my tears every little spot upon your happiness and struggle with all the misfortune of this world to shield you and my children from harm.
Oh my God.
But I cannot. I must watch you from the spirit land and hover near you while you buffet the storms with your precious little freight and wait with sad patience till we meet to part no more. But oh, Sarah, if the dead can come back to this earth and flit unseen around those they loved, I shall always be near you.
Oh my God, no. I'm going to come back and haunt you. Yeah. Because I love you so. No, I can't. I can't do it.
In the garish day and in the darkest night amidst your happiest scenes and gloomiest hours, always, always. And if the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath.
Oh my God.
Or the cool air cools your throbbing temples, it shall be my spirit passing by. Sarah, do not mourn me, dear. Think I am gone and wait for me, for we shall meet again. As for my boys.
Oh, it's still going. It's so, oh my God, yeah. He hasn't even talked to the kids. No, I'm not okay.
We're coming to an end. As for my little boys, they will grow as I have done and never know a father's love and care.
Oh my God, I am. Oh, what?
Little Willie is too young to remember me long, and my blue-eyed Edgar will keep my frolics with him among the dimmest memories of his childhood. Sarah, I have unlimited confidence in your maternal care and your development of their characters.
Tell
my two mothers, I call God's blessing upon them. Oh, Sarah, I wait for you there. Come to me and lead thither my children. Sullivan. She lived for 56 more years.
No, she didn't! How?
And she never married again.
No. No, you don't. No, you don't.
You don't marry someone after you lose someone
like
this.
No, you're Mrs. Sullivan forever. Like, no one's ever going to look at you half the way that this man...
I'm, like, shaking from how much that letter kills me.
Say it.
But I needed to burden everyone else with the knowledge of this letter.
To bring it back to, like, I trust you as a mother. You're going to
be
great.
Like, they're going to end up great because of you. Like, so there is a dozen lines of that
God
kill me.
That's, really...
The one of, when you feel the breeze on you, that's my breath.
And God, like, no.
Oh my gosh.
I can't remember. No, don't put it down. Don't read it again. I know you're going to. You're going to go find like hard-hitting lines and do it again.
Just my favorite. Just my favorite.
No, yeah. It's over. It's wrecked. So let's go.
When my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, yeah. It will whisper your name.
There is something about that. Like Napoleon saying Josephine.
Oh, it's my gosh. There's
something about that where, like, your whole fucking life, like, just, like, flash in front of you in, like, a massive DMT trip. But the last thing
that you have managed to say. God. Yeah. And you know he did.
Oh!
You know
that, like, there was, like, something of hers, like, a letter that he, like, clutched. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, oh. No. Like, oh God, and someone had to come tell her.
Oh my God.
And she like had to fucking watch them like walk up to, oh no. Like, did they bring the letter and be like, this is like, probably, right?
Yeah, either that or she got the news probably like the next day after receiving the letter, or she received the news with the letter. Could you imagine finding out that your husband died and then reading that letter after? And then
reading the letter.
And he just knew. And he just fucking
That's like the part that really got me. Like, I just have this feeling I have to write this down. Yeah. I feel like it's right there. It's like, and oh, like, God.
You guys can, like, you know, people can come at us and be like, it's war. Like, of course
he's going to think fine. That,
like, sure, yeah, fine. But, like, no. People do survive battles.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There was a chance he would survive. Like, how did he know this was the end?
We've seen a lot of, I think all of us have seen, like, a good amount of historical letters from soldiers that all say something like, if I don't come back or something. Yeah. And it always hits you, you
but
know?
But he kept saying, like, he fucking knew. He was, like, saying, like, this is it. Like, he was so confident.
That is a letter that you write knowing that you're getting ready to die.
Yeah.
Like, that's, wow.
And him too, like, I don't know what it is. It just, like, you know, because it's written in such a different way than we would write a letter now. Still, like, very understandable. Like, it isn't so old that we can't understand what he's trying to say. But it still is written different than, like, just how we would write. But there's, like, something, like, he wrote so many relatable things that, like, it brings back, like, this was a fucking person. Like, mm-hmm. Folktales, we'll get into this, and if someone dies, really, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Because none of these, people, none are of these real, people are real, and none of it happened, and that's just fun. I'm gonna devastate you, but we're gonna bring it back, I promise.
We're gonna bring it back,
but
yeah.
Something, like, really humanized him to me and, like, reminded me, like, this was a fucking person. Like, this happened.
Yeah.
When he was saying, like, and I'm laying here amongst all these soldiers on this summer night, like, describing, like, where he was, how he felt, like,
2,000 men sleep around me, and he's, like, up, like, with his candle, being like, I'm gonna die, and I have to tell Sarah that.
I just can only count on the fact that he is out there somewhere and saw that the Union won, and knows that he didn't die for nothing.
No, and, like, and then
and he's with Sarah.
She got there one day, and, like, oh, wow.
God.
Know? And, like, the way he says, like, please come to me. Leave our kids there, but you, like, you come to, like, oh, I just, wow.
Oh, and you know what also? Because I think about this because anxiety mom is, I think all the time, like, oh, my gosh, if I died, you know, like, I'll remind myself, like, drive really carefully or whatever. Because I remember if I died today, my daughter would have vague memories of me because she's 7.
Mm-hmm.
My son would not remember me at all.
No,
he would not have a single memory of his mom. Like, he has spent almost every waking moment with me since the day he was born, and he wouldn't remember me.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when he's saying that, like, you know, that one of my sons will have vague memories of me, the other one will not remember me.
Yeah.
That killed me because I've thought about that so many times. It's like, that's just so devastating.
Right, yeah. God, and then, like, what you do have of your father is this fucking note, and you just are like, wow, what a man you were.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh. At least to know that, like, wow, your dad loved you, and he loved your mom.
Oh, so much.
Oh my God, to be loved like that.
She didn't remarry in a time where, like,
that would have been so expected of her.
Yes.
I'm sure she was supported as, like, the widow of a fallen major, which is great. So hopefully financially she never struggled or anything after that, because women had to marry for financial purposes a lot in that time period. But I'm glad
and, like,
that she had the ability to never marry again, because she clearly didn't want to.
No, she did not want to.
And how do you come back from that?
No,
how do you marry
no man wants to marry, sir. You don't want to. You're not him. Like, oh God, you cannot hold a candle to this man ever. Like, you just don't even try.
Yeah.
Just no, light a candle.
You're never gonna,
Sullivan,
yeah, you're on. Never gonna love her the way that he did, and no. She will never love you the way that she loved him.
No.
Also, his name is Sullivan.
No, my God.
And that's a cool ass name.
It's a cool ass name.
Sully.
Sully. Sully and Sarah.
Sully and Sarah.
With Willie and Edgar.
Oh my gosh. With Willie and Edgar.
Yeah.
So I saw this letter, and it was like a TikTok.
Yeah, why did you do this?
Yeah, please.
Because it's like, been it's haunting me. It's supposed to be folktales. Like, if this is your first episode, it's folktales are so fun.
So fun.
Like, I don't know what the fuck we just did in Pisces season.
Number 21 was actually, we had like a slightly emotional, like devastating one. Actually,
oh, okay.
And we were
okay.
Really surprised. We're like, the girl gets like chopped up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one was hard. Put my body parts where they go so I look pretty. Okay. Yeah. 21.
So rare.
In the beginning of this one.
So rare, though.
Yeah.
So rare. But it's Pisces season, and it's just one of those things where it's like, I was traumatized by that, so you all had to be traumatized, too.
Absolutely. No, thank you.
But yeah, no, I saw, I saw like, a TikTok. It was like slideshow, and it was just the highlights. That was the first time I had read that letter in full.
Oh, wow. You did great.
Thank you. I was really trying to hold it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I saw that and but the person had only put like, was a soldier in the Civil War. And so I was like, what side?
Yeah. Yeah. You do.
Which
kinda,
side?
Yeah.
So, but then I Googled it and I was like, okay,
we're system one.
Yep,
Sullivan, my boy.
And he was just an attorney before that.
Just an attorney.
Yeah.
Just an attorney. Living in the northern states. He's gonna write a note that's killing me. That's probably like my least favorite song on planet Earth. Journey, Don't Stop Believin'. Just so everyone knows.
Don't go singing that at Maddie.
Motherfucking hate that song so much. So I'm a little disappointed in myself. Sullivan deserves better.
Since I have many, should I go first and then you can go and then I'll do another short one?
Oh, yeah. No, Emily, you are 100% going to start us off with a folktale today to come back from that. And it better be fun. And it better be lighthearted. And we read them on the spot. And so she's going to have no idea. So this is like pressure.
Okay. I feel confident that one of these will be very happy.
Oh.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it on you, baby.
Okay.
I have three very short ones.
Okay.
And I'm going to read you the titles and you're going to pick one.
Beautiful. Love it.
Because if this is your first time listening, Maddie and I don't read these prior to the episode, so we don't know what they're going to say either. So we will be reacting along with you if you've never heard them before, like us. Okay. So this one's from Iceland.
Ooh.
Then the merman left.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Okay. There's a Welsh one.
Okay.
Peregrine and the Mermaid. So two mers.
Yeah. It's Pisces season, baby.
And then this one, not on a mermaid track, but still sounds fun, from Norway.
Oh, man.
The Ash Lad, who had an eating match with the troll.
Oh, fuck shit.
Yeah.
Let's start with the first one. That first one had me.
Yeah. Then the merman laughed.
Because the only other Icelandic one I think we've heard is like Guna and her hot springs episode, right? And that was some shit.
Good point.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go.
And I love, then the merman laughed.
Yeah. I hope it's just like a one hod like left. Just like, ha.
Yeah.
Like,
ha. And that's it.
And that's it.
That's like
it.
The only laugh. And then he laughed and then it's over.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, this one's like a page and a quarter. It's
beautiful.
Like very short. Yeah. So,
okay,
let's go.
Here we go.
A merman is a dwarf that lives in the sea.
Oh, okay. That is news to me.
That is
genuinely
news to me.
News to me. Yep. Okay.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
There's an old saying in Iceland, which many people use as a proverb. Then the merman left. Okay. As for how it arose, it is said that a certain farmer drew up in his fishing net a sea dwarf who called himself a merman, with a big head and broad hands, but shaped like a seal below the navel. He would not teach any of his magic lore to the farmer, so the latter took him ashore, much against his will.
He's like, hey, teach me stuff. And he's like, no.
No. Boop on the nose.
No. Absolutely not. No.
And he's like, I'm dragging your ass
on
this
world.
Yeah. That's not cool. Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, God! Emily's face is killing me. Okay. Ooh, ooh.
the farmer's wife, a young and lusty woman, came down to the shore and greeted her husband, kissing and fondling him.
She, like, for sure, like, had her little, like, she, like, pulled her little skirt up and, like, stuck her little leg, like, into the fishnet and then, like, he's just doing it for you.
Yeah. She's a young and lusty woman. Okay. But her husband's a dick.
Oh.
Yeah, he dragged her. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That much we know. Yeah.
Yeah, jerk.
Like, why does he think that he can even do mer magic?
Yeah.
Like, you're just a guy, dude.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He can't teach this to you.
It is not innate to your being.
No.
You're just a mortal human.
Yeah, you're just a guy.
Yeah.
With pathetic. A hot wife.
With a hot, but with a hot wife.
Yeah.
Count your blessings. The farmer was pleased and praised her. Oh, did he good girl her?
He's like, that's my good girl. Yeah. Okay, like, wait. The merman's like, if I don't need to teach you anything, man, you got it. You teach me.
You chose the wrong one. This is a ride. Okay, we're not even a quarter in. But drove his dog away. He praised her, but drove his dog away with a blow when it came up with the wife to greet him. Does that mean he hit the dog?
Yeah. Why?
What the fuck?
Why is that even relevant to the story?
Why?
What a fucking dick. No, I hate this guy.
I hate this guy.
This is stupid.
Then, when he saw that, the merman laughed. The farmer asked why he laughed, and the merman says, at stupidity. Yeah, merman. I think merman and hot wife, young and lusty wife, should get together.
And the dog.
And the farmer. Yeah, and the dog should be a mer dog, and the farmer can get the fuck out of here.
The farmer can suck my dick and
balls. Oh, my God.
I hate him.
He's the worst.
No, the worst.
As the farmer was making his way home from the sea, he stumbled and tripped over a tussock.
Idiot.
I'm here for it. He cursed at the tussock heartily, asking why it had ever been sent by fate to stand on his land. Then the merman laughed, for he was being carried along against his will, and said, this farmer has no sense.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah, I love merman.
Here for the merman.
He's sassy.
I know. Also, like, is he okay? Is he okay?
Like, is he drying out?
I was gonna
say. Is he gonna die?
Someone get him a spritz. Yeah. I'm nervous.
I mean, he seems like he's just enjoying watching this.
It's Iceland. I feel like it's moist.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's cold humidity
for
in
the air.
For
sure. There has to be.
He's okay.
The farmer kept the merman in his house for 3 days. Some traveling merchants came there with wares to sell. Now the farmer had never been able to get boots with soles as thick and strong as he wanted, but these merchants thought that they had boots of the best quality. The farmer could take his pick among the 100 pairs, and still, he said they were all too thin and would be holes in them in no time. Okay. Then the merman laughed and said, it's clever men that make the biggest fools.
I just love it.
I just imagine him, like, sitting back in a chair, arms crossed, little smirk on his face, just shaking his head slowly, like,
idiot.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, literally. Like, this is the guy that wanted me to teach him magic.
Yeah.
I'm not even pathetic. Magic, dude. I'm just, like, a thing.
I'm just, like, half seal.
Yeah, I'm just, like, a beam. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, put me back in the ocean where I belong.
God.
The farmer could not get any further words of wisdom out of the merman by fair means or foul, except on condition that he took him out to sea again. Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
Right back to the very fishing bank where he had been caught.
Exactly.
And then he would squat on the blade of the farmer's oar and answer all his questions, otherwise.
Oh my God, cute.
Just a little squat.
Yeah, no, like a little seal sit, like on the oar, stop.
That's adorable.
Oh my God. He doesn't need to do that. He does not need to do that. He totally can just go.
He can just go at that point.
No, yeah,
but
you don't need to
do
that.
I feel like he... Or is he going to be like, this is a lesson for you, bitch. Like, you put me back in the water, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Like, this is the moral.
So. You can't fix stupid.
No, not this type. So after 3 days, the farmer did this. And when the dwarf was on the oar blade, the farmer asked what gear fishermen ought to use if they wanted good catches. The merman answered.
What an absolutely phenomenal question. You know what? I honest to God thought this guy was going to ask something so fucking dumb.
Oh, yeah. That was actually a very useful and smart question.
Yeah, he thought about that.
That's practicality.
All right, dude. Yep. Okay. He's an earth sign.
Yeah, apparently. Just, you know, one of the dickish ones.
Yeah.
Chewed and trodden iron must be used for the hoods, and forging must be done where one can hear both river and wave, and the hooks must be tempered in the foam and sweat of tired horses. Use a fishing line made from a gray bull's sinews and cord from raw horse hide.
Thank for God bait, he asked. Yeah, Jesus.
This is really specific.
No wonder no one's
He's like,
catching
write
fish.
This down, write this down.
Oh my God, this is
Can
a
you
lot.
Say that again? Because this is long. For bait, use birds, gizzards, and flounders, but human flesh on the middle bite.
Okay.
And then, if you get no catch, you're surely fey. F-E-Y? You're surely fey.
Huh.
The barb of the fish hook must point outwards.
Good God, okay.
That was so...
Holy shit!
Oh my God. Then the farmer asked him what was the stupidity he had laughed at when he praised his wife and struck his dog.
There it was. I mean, that's still actually like
a practical
question. Yeah, I'm
okay
with that.
Like, I need to learn from my actions.
Yeah, okay, there's hope.
Yeah. The merman answered, stan the merman, oh my gosh.
Okay.
Your own stupidity, farmer. Your dog loves you as dearly as his own life, but your wife wishes you were dead. No, that gets worse, oh my God. But your wife wishes you were dead, and she's a whore.
No, no. The merman says, and she's a whore.
Your wife's a
yeah. Wow. No, listen.
Oh my gosh. The tussock you cursed covers a treasure destined for you, and there's money and plenty under it. That's why you had no sense, farmer, and why I laughed. And the black boots will last you all your life, for you haven't many days to live. 3 days. They'll last you 3 days. And with this, he plunged off the oar blade, and so they parted. But oh everything God. The merman said proved to be true. The end.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Listen, I would choose that one again.
Yep, no, that was great. That was I was really worried phenomenal. About the dog, but like it came back.
It did come back. It did come back.
I mean, he died.
Yeah, he did.
That dude died.
3 days later.
Yeah.
His wife's a whore.
I can't fucking. Your dog loves you as dearly as his own life, but your wife wishes you were dead, and she is a whore.
And she's a whore, man. Like,
whoa.
Whoa.
God, okay. So again, if you're new here, this is what
That's
we typically
tales.
Get with folk
That's
tales.
Folk
yeah.
tales.
Sorry to, like, throw us off at the beginning, but it is Pisces season. What do you expect from
You
me?
Know, yeah. We adapt. We overcome. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Exactly.
We cry in the middle of it all. So, I have one from, my... Legends of the Pacific Northwest, like indigenous peoples. Mm-hmm. So, disclaimer, this book that we have is an older one, and so it does use terminology like Indian, where we would typically use natives or indigenous people. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna read it as is, know that we don't like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one is called In the Beginning of the MODOK World. So again, if you're new here, I don't know why this turned into a If You're New Here episode.
But we have been having a lot of new listeners.
We have.
And also our old listeners. Hey.
Hey.
Love you.
What's up, honeybees?
Yeah, new ones. Bzz, bzz. Love you too.
Oh, yeah, we love you so much. I did a five-part series on the MODOK Wars, and mm-hmm. it means so much to me, and it's just, oh my God.
They were incredible.
They are incredible.
It needs to be a movie.
Yep.
Go listen to those right now.
Please go do it.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I stumbled across it in this book here, which makes sense. Pacific Northwest, they're in that Northern California, Southern Oregon area. So let's see how it started. And if you are a regular. If
yeah,
you're like a friend of the pod, you've been here forever and you've listened to the MODOK War episode, I think you're like really gonna love this.
Yay!
So here we go. Kumush, old man of the ancients, went down with his daughter to the underworld of the spirits. It was a beautiful world, reached by one long, deep road.
Ooh.
In it there were many spirits, as many as all the stars in the sky and all the hairs on all the animals in the world.
Whoa, that's a lot of spirits.
That's so many spirits.
That's so many.
When night came, the spirits gathered together in a great plain to sing and dance. Oh my gosh, so many.
That's cute.
When daylight came, they returned to their place in the house, lay down, and became dry bones.
Oh, yep. What a life.
Yeah, we come alive.
I love. I want to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to be just dry bones during the day.
Right? Like, I feel like I'm halfway there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a dissociation, baby.
That's what I've been aspiring to do.
After 6 days and six nights in the land of the spirits, Kumush longed for the sun. He decided to return to the upper world and take some of the spirits with him. With the spirits, he would people his world.
Oh, he'd people the world.
Yeah, he'd go people
That's
it.
That's cute.
I do love that. A big basket in hand, he went through the house of the spirits and chose the bones he wished to take with him. Some bones he thought would be good for one tribe of people, others would be best for other tribes.
Sure.
When he had filled his basket, Kumu strapped it to his back and started up the steep hill road to the upper world.
I feel like you can't just take spirits. I feel like you can't just do this. This feels like not good.
It does seem, I mean, God, if they let it happen. Yeah. This we have like a ways to go.
Okay.
So I feel right. like they're going to they're gonna be like, okay. I don't want to, it's bright up here.
Yeah, yeah. This wasn't for me.
Yeah, I've done this already. I'm a spirit.
You
now.
Can't just take me when I'm dry bones.
Yeah, no.
Like I can't say, hey. No, thank you. No, I'm just dry bones.
Had my turn in the sun, and now it's my turn to be dry bones.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. But no, he strapped it to his back, and he's heading up there. Near the top, he slipped and stumbled, and the basket fell to the ground. At once, the bones became spirits again, shouting and singing. They ran back to their house in the spirit world and became bones again.
Well. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine.
So they came out, and they're like, oh, no, thank you. And, ran all the way down.
Oh, they absolutely.
I don't know why.
Like arms a skeleton and, little, wavies.
Yeah. I picture, the spooky, spooky skeleton dancing.
Oh, my gosh,
and they're all
just,
going back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go back to my house and be dry bones.
Yeah, and they got a nice little run out of it.
Yeah.
They saw some sights.
Yeah, they got, burnt some energy. It's great. A second time. Kumush filled his basket with bones and started towards the upper world. A second time he slipped, and the spirits, shouting and singing, returned to the underground world.
Just slipping, man.
Third time.
Oh.
Yep. He filled the basket with bones. This time he spoke to them angrily. Yeah. You just think you want to stay here. When you see my land, a land where the sun shines, you will never want to come back to this place. There are no people up there, and I know I will again be lonesome for people.
Oh,
it's like, you just think you like it down here. It's really nice up there. Okay,
please, there's some people up there. Lovely. I was a friend.
And he has his daughter.
Yeah, the spirit world has plenty of people.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, or just hang out down there and then go up and get some sun. Sometimes.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
I don't know.
Like the holidays.
Yeah,
as spirits do.
A third time. Kumush starts up the steep and slippery road.
My man.
With the basket on his back. When he came near the edge of the upper world, he threw the basket ahead of him onto the level ground. So it's up. It's up.
Oh my gosh, it did it. Mm-hmm. He did it.
Indian bones, he called out.
What?
He's like, coming in.
Yep.
Here they are.
Yep.
Got him. Yep. He uncovered the basket and selected the bones for the kinds of Indians he wanted in certain places. As he threw them, he named them.
Oh.
You shall be the Shastas, he said to the bones and threw them westward. You shall be brave warriors. You shall also be brave warriors, he said to the Pit River Indians and to the Warm Springs Indians. All of these, we've heard all of these
tribes. Oh my gosh,
tribes.
I love that.
To the bones he threw a short distance northward, he said, you shall be the Klamath Indians. You will be as easy to frighten as women are. You will not be good warriors.
Oh.
The Modoc and the Klamath did not get along.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Love that.
Uh-huh.
Love the rivalry.
Yeah. I love the snark
that's
in this.
Cute. Yeah. Last of all, he threw the bones which became the Modoc Indians. Yeah. To them, he said, you will be bravest of all. You will be my chosen people. Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Though you will be a small tribe and though your enemies are many, you will kill all who come against you. You will keep my place when I have gone. I, Kumush, have spoken. Okay, yeah, that got me.
Oh my gosh.
Because they were small, but to this day, they are
There are still Modoc people, as we know.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are Modoc people out there.
Yeah.
Which, that's so beautiful.
And, the documentary I watched, they said one of their, sayings amongst their people is, if things get hard or something, they say, you better Modoc up. We don't do this kind of thing. I love that. Please go listen to that series.
Please.
Oh, okay. To all the people created from the bones of the spirits, Kumush said, you must send certain men to the mountains. They must ask to be made brave or be made wise. There, if they ask for it, they will be given the power to help themselves to help all of you.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. He's like, if you want to be a good leader, if you ask for certain things, be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Then Kumush named all the different kinds of fish and beasts that the people should eat. As he named them, they appeared in the rivers and the lakes and in the forest and on the plains. He named the roots and the berries and the plants his people should eat. He thought, and they appeared. Oh, he thought, and they appeared.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Kumush, huh?
He is powerful.
To look at him go. He divided the work of the people by making this law. Men shall fish and hunt and fight. Women shall get wood and water, gather berries, dig roots, and cook for their families. This is my law. So Kumush finished the upper world and his work in it. Then, with his daughter, he went to the place where the sun rises at the eastern edge of the world. Along the sun's road, he traveled until he reached the middle of the sky. There, he built a house for himself and his daughter, and there they live even today. The end. And you shall be the bravest of all.
I can't. Oh my gosh.
I just really love that. Oh. Your enemies will be many, but you will kill all who come against you.
That is dead. What, yeah. Oh yeah. And like, yeah, so small but brave. Yeah. Like, I can't.
No, I can't handle that. Oh. And like the Klamath diss.
I love the snark. Kind of that like, was so fun.
It like brought back like the feelings that I have that Captain Jack's buried at a Klamath.
Oh.
Like at Fort Klamath, because I fucking hate that. Like, I hate that so much.
He would hate that, because he would hate that so much.
Mm-hmm. At Fort fucking Klamath? Like, yeah. No. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But that's okay, Sconch and John. And all, like, they have their own cemetery and everything out there where the rest of them get to, like, be laid to rest. And I just hope that Jack found his way back, because...
You know what we should do?
What?
What was that, like, land in that episode that was, like, their land that was, like, really hard to navigate and stuff?
The land of burnt out fires.
Yes. Can we go there first?
Yeah.
Go on a trip.
Yeah.
We're going to go there first.
Yeah.
We're going to collect some rocks.
Okay.
And then go to Fort Klamath to his burial ground and lay the rocks
right
around where he was buried, like, bringing some of his home back to him.
Can we do that?
Are we allowed to take just a couple rocks?
Are we allowed to do that? You can't take rocks from Hawaii. I know that.
No, that's why I'm wondering, like, can you?
And, like, would it matter that, like...
Because, like, most national parks, you can just right? take a rock,
like,
you know?
Just
like a couple, just, like, two, just for him, right? Just like, to bring his land back to him in some type of way. Wouldn't that be nice?
And, like,
we'll look into it, make sure we're doing it respectfully.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, like, well, we can't, like, because we are going to...
Oh, we're going to both those places.
Fields National Park, for sure. And, like, we can't go there and, like, not talk with, like, an actual, like, MODOK ancestry.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Be like, can we do that? Like, would that counteract any... The fact that it was our fucking people? Like,
yeah.
Can we do something for the love of God? Because this just means, like,
yeah, because that is, like, so irritating that he's there, like, in a place where he would not, the last place he'd want to be, really.
No, I fucking hate that.
That is really awful.
Yeah.
But that was really good. I like that.
Yeah, there was that. What you got?
I think I'll do the mermaid one.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
We'll continue the theme and then.
Keep it nautical.
Actually, we'll have time for both of them.
Oh, good. So, okay, yeah, because the last one sounded too
also
good.
Sounded really good. Okay.
Lots of Emily stuff today. Sorry, you reading a lot?
Yeah, no, I like reading.
Thank you.
I have fun reading to you. Feels like I'm reading a story to my child.
No, and
so
I just,
fun.
Like, sit here with my little knees up
yeah,
to my chest.
Yeah, you look so cozy.
Like, I
you
am
got,
so
like,
cozy.
A cute little sweatshirt on.
Yeah,
you
I stole the meat one.
Yeah, so cute.
And, yeah, I'm just sitting here like that.
All right, well, this is the Welsh Peregrine and the Mermaid.
All righty.
One fine afternoon in September, in the beginning of the last century, a fisherman, whose name was Peregrine, went to a recess in the rock near Pen. Gosh, Welsh people are gonna hate me, and these are my people too. I am Welsh.
I was gonna say you're very
yeah funny, yeah. Sorry guys. Pen Sems, C-E-M-M-E-S, no idea.
Oh,
where he found a sea maiden doing her hair.
Okay.
And he took the water lady prisoner to his boat. God,
why do we suck so bad?
People
like
are
just
the worst.
As humans,
yeah, stop taking mermaids.
Just
that's why they don't let themselves be seen by us anymore.
That's the thing. For fuck's sakes. What if someone just came and plucked us out?
Yeah. Also,
all the time.
Right?
How annoying.
And, like, to be a sea maiden doing her hair.
Yeah. Oh, no. You Beautiful. Know she's sitting on a rock. You know that
Singing.
She's, like, combing through it.
Oh, with, like, a cute little, like, comb made out of, like, some sort of seashell.
Yeah.
So
oh,
cute.
God.
We know not what language is used by sea maidens, but this time at any rate, talked, it is said, very good Welsh.
Oh.
For when she was in despair in Peregrine's custody, weeping copiously.
No!
And with her tresses all disheveled.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, this is so short. I'm almost done.
Oh.
She called out, Peregrin, if thou wilt let me go, I will give thee 3 shouts in the time of thy greatest need. Oh, like 3 favors. Okay.
Okay.
So, in wonder and fear, he let her go to walk the streets of the deep and visit her sweethearts there. Okay. Days and weeks passed without Peregrin seeing her after this. But one hot afternoon, when the sea was pretty calm and the fisherman had no thought of danger, behold his old acquaintance, showing her head and locks and shouting out in a loud voice, "Peregrin, Peregrin, Peregrin, take up thy nets, take up thy nets, take up thy nets."
Oh.
Oh, so she's like gonna warn him when like danger's coming.
Okay.
That's useful. That is like an award for being for kidnapping. Shitty ass person.
Yeah, I was gonna say this. Okay. Yeah. Well.
At least they listened, though. Okay. Peregrin and his companion instantly obeyed the message and drew their nets in with great haste. In they went past the bar, and by the time they had reached PWLL, there is not a vowel in that.
Oh, it's literally probably pronounced like pillowy.
Oh, it's probably something so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, guys. The most terrible storm had overspread the sea while he and his companion were safe on land. Twice, 9 others had gone out with them, but they were all drowned without having the chance of obeying the warning of the Water Lady. That's it.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Like, you kidnap me, but if you bring me back, I reward you.
Yeah, no, seems like he needs to bring her back and go to prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you know. Okay, well, odd moral with that.
Interesting.
Moving on to that last one.
The Ash Lad, who had an eating match with the troll from Norway. God.
No way, dude. The troll's gonna own your shit.
He's gonna be so great. Also,
what are they eating? Fish? Okay, I'm sorry.
There is, in the Norway section of Epcot in Disney World, there is a giant troll wood carving.
Yes.
Is so beautiful. And so that's what I'm thinking of with this troll.
When you get off, well, I mean, not like right when you get off the plane. What am I doing? At the airport in Copenhagen, there's like a big old troll there too.
Yes!
I mean, very cute. And it's just like, welcome to Denmark, troll.
Yep, there it troll. Is. There yep, it is.
Get ready.
Love a troll. There was once a farmer who had 3 sons.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah. What a surprise. That's never happened before in a folktale that someone has 3 sons.
Yeah. Does he feel a certain way about them? I'd love to know.
Probably. He was badly off and old and feeble, and his sons wouldn't turn their hands to a thing. To the farm belonged a large, good forest, and there the father wanted the boys to chop wood and see about paying off some of the debt. At last, he got them around to his way of thinking, and the eldest was to go out chopping first. When he had made his way into the forest and had started chopping a shaggy fir tree, a big burly troll came up to him.
Oh.
"If you're chopping in my forest, I'm going to kill you," said the troll. When the boy heard that, he flung aside the axe and headed for home again as best he could. Yeah. Fair.
Oh, I would have done the same. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, a big troll who's threatening to kill me? Absolutely.
Yeah,
not.
I would apologize just relentlessly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, sorry, sir, back, this is indeed your tree.
I'm so fucking sorry.
Yep. Your forest that, I mean, I paid for this land, but you know, it's fine.
Yeah,
you
it's
were
fine.
Here first, yeah. So it's fair enough.
You're big.
He got home clean out of breath and told them what had happened to him, but his father said he was chicken-hearted. The trolls had never scared him from chopping wood when he was young, he said. On the next day, the second son was to set out, but he fared just like the first. When he had struck the fir tree a few blows with his axe, the troll came up to him and said, "If you're chopping in my forest, I'm going to kill you."
I love, like, you know, we love a direct.
That's the thing. He's very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is not fucking around.
Yeah. He's not, like, chasing you out of there.
No.
He's just like, listen, are you chopping? You're gonna die.
Yeah, I will kill you. Yep. I'm gonna give you a warning first. I didn't just, like, come at you and kill you.
Yeah, no, this
I'll
is
give you a warning.
Very nice troll.
Yeah. The boy hardly dared look at him. He flung aside the axe and took to his heels just like his brother and just as fast. Mm-hmm. When he came home again, his father became angry and said that the trolls had never scared him when he was young. On the third day, the Ash Lad wanted to set out. "You," said the 2 eldest, "you'll certainly manage it, you who've never been beyond the front door." He didn't say much to that, the Ash Lad didn't, but just asked for as big a lunch as possible to take with him.
Hell yeah.
His mother had no curds, so she hung the cauldron over the fire to curdle a little cheese for him.
That's a very nice
That's a good mama. Yeah. This he put in his knapsack and set on his way. When he had been chopping for a little while, the troll came to him and said, "If you're chopping in my forest, I'm going to kill you." But the boy wasn't slow. He ran over to the knapsack to get the cheese and squeezed it till the whey spurted.
Oh, whoa.
Okay.
Yeah, whoa.
"If you don't hold your tongue," he shrieked to the troll, "I'll squeeze you the way I'm squeezing the water out of this white stone."
Okay, because trolls not very smart.
Nay, dear fellow, spare me, said the troll. I'll help you to chop.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Shit, it's always the youngest, man.
They always know what the fuck they're doing.
Damn.
I would know, I'm the youngest. Well, on that condition, the boy would spare him, and the troll was clever at chopping, so they managed to fell and cut up as many cords of wood during the day. Mm-hmm. As evening was drawing nigh, the troll said, now you can come home with me. My house is closer than yours.
Oh, well.
Okay. Are they buddies now? Yeah, like, this seems a little risky.
Are they friends?
Well, the boy went along, and when they came to the troll's home, he was to make up the fire in the hearth, while the boy was to fetch water for the porridge pot. But the two iron buckets were so big and heavy he couldn't so much as budge them. So the boy said, it's not worth taking along these thimbles. I'm going after the whole well, I am. These thimbles. Yeah. Whatever.
After the whole well, I am.
I am? Nay, my dear fellow, said the troll. I can't lose my well. You make the fire and I'll go after the water. God, this kid's smart.
Playing him like a fiddle.
Yeah. When he came back with the water, they cooked up a huge pot of porridge.
Nice.
If it's all the same to you, said the boy, let's have an eating match. Oh, yes, replied the troll, for at that he felt he could always hold his own. Mm-hmm. Well, they sat down at the table, but the boy stole over and took the knapsack and tied it in front of him, and he scooped more into the knapsack than he ate himself. When the knapsack was full, he took up his knife and ripped a gash in it. The troll looked at him, but didn't say anything. When they had eaten a good while longer, the troll put down his spoon. Nay, now I can't manage any more, he said. You must eat, said the boy. I'm barely half full yet. Do as I did and cut a hole in your stomach. Then you can eat as much as you wish.
Oh, man, that's metal.
But doesn't that hurt dreadfully, said the troll. Oh, nothing to speak of, replied the boy. So the troll did as the boy said, and then, you might know, that was the end of him.
No, I liked the troll.
I liked the troll.
He
even invited him back for dinner.
I was going to say, he's like, oh my God, like we're friends?
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend. I don't have to kill you. Come home. And then he has him fucking like harikari himself, like in his own kitchen.
Don't say it that way, Maddie. That is so sad.
I hate this.
I hate it too. But the boy took all the silver and gold to be found in the mountain and went home with it. With that, he could at least pay some of the debt. Not even all of it? All the wood, all the money, he at least could pay some of the debt. That's the end. That's it.
That's it. Uh-huh. Cool. Okay. So this is a great example of folk tales.
You have some winners and you have some losers.
Yeah. Because I liked the troll. I got attached.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Okay, well, do you want to hear how mosquitoes came to be?
Okay.
Okay.
We had it, like, planned on doing another one, but she turned the page and here we go.
Yeah, it's just the next one in here.
Let's do it.
And it's, it says American Indian. Okay. As we know.
Native American.
Yep.
How the mosquito came to be?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I would love to hear how these little
motherfuckers,
devil flies,
mother suckers came to be.
Yeah, please.
It says in parentheses, T-L-I-N-G-I-T. I'm assuming that's a tribe. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay.
Okay, this one is also super short.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Long ago, there was a giant who loved to kill humans, eat their flesh, and drink their blood.
Well, okay.
He was especially fond of human hearts.
Nice.
Unless we can get rid of this giant, people said, none of us will be left. And they called a council to discuss ways and means. One man said, I think I know how to kill the monster. And he went to the place where the giant had last been seen. There he lay down and pretended to be dead. Soon the giant came along. Seeing the man lay there, he said, these humans are making it easy for me. Now I don't even have to catch and kill them. They might die right on my trail, probably from fear of me.
Ah.
The giant touched the body. Ah, good, he said. This one is still warm and fresh. What a tasty meal he'll make.
Nom, nom, nom.
I can't wait to roast his heart.
No, hell yeah.
Yep. Uh-oh. What is this man's plan?
I don't know. Why did he go alone?
Yeah, it was real stressful.
Yeah, okay.
The giant flung the man over his shoulder, and the man let his head hang down as if he were dead. Carrying the man home, the giant dropped him in the middle of the floor right near the fireplace. Then he saw that there was no firewood and went to get some. As soon as the monster had left, the man got up and grabbed the giant's huge skinning knife. Just then, the giant's son came in.
Oh.
There's two, bending low to enter.
The three? The son came from somewhere.
That's true.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I don't know how giants work, but yeah.
Also, maybe mom died or something.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe she lives somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm rooting for her.
I hope she's okay. I hope she's not killing people and eating them.
Oh.
He was still small as giants go, and the man held a big knife to his throat. Quick, tell me, where's your father's heart? Tell me or I'll slit your throat. It's not in his chest?
I was going to say, mean,
it's a giant. I guess we don't know.
I guess we don't know. Maybe giants keep, like, leave it under their mattress.
Maybe.
For the day.
Oh, well, the giant's son was scared, and he said, my father's heart is in his left heel.
But see, so there's the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would have been one of the last places I would have tried.
Yep. Just then, the giant's left foot appeared in the entrance, and the man swiftly plunged the knife into the heel. The monster screamed and fell down dead. Yet the giant still spoke.
Nope.
Though I am dead, though you killed me, I'm going to keep on eating you and all the other humans in the world forever. That's what you think, said the man. I'm about to make sure that you never eat anyone again. He cut the giant's body into pieces and burned each one in the fire. Then he took the ashes and threw them into the air for the winds to scatter.
Nice.
Instantly, each one of these particles turned into a mosquito.
Ah.
The cloud of ashes became a cloud of mosquitoes. And from the midst, the man heard the giant's voice laughing, saying, yes, I'll eat you people until the end of time.
One bite at a time.
As the monster spoke, the man felt a sting and a mosquito started sucking his blood. And then many mosquitoes stung him.
Oh, God.
And he began to scratch himself.
Oh, shit.
That was the end.
That was the end. And then he began to
scratch himself.
And we're all scratching by the end of the day.
Those things really are the worst. And you know what? I'd rather get bit by a mosquito, though, than have someone kill me and eat my heart. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, that was a fun one. I was rooting for the giant. Because I'm just, like, on the wrong side, generally.
Yeah,
but,
I just wanted a tasty snack.
I love that. I'm going to eat all you people over like, you want some West Nile with that? Here.
Yeah, you're right? Okay. Mosquitoes, I guess, can be very dangerous.
Yeah, mosquitoes.
Mm. Oh. Oh, damn it.
Oh. Oh,
damn it.
Oh.
There's an American one.
Oh, man. It's too
but
long.
It's long.
Shoot, we need to do an American one.
We really do. This section of the book is called Fooling the Devil.
Oh, hell yeah. It's going to be like the devil went down to Georgia.
Yep, exactly. Okay, let's see.
Remember when the whole ass devil lost at a fiddle contest in Georgia? One that he made up the rules to?
Like,
you
pathetic.
Set the rules.
Ooh, there's one called The Bad Wife from Russia.
Ooh.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ew. Because you haven't given me Russia yet.
Yeah.
Have we
ever done a Russian one?
You were going to, and then you're like, no, you should read this one, and then we never found it again.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we go. Here's a Russian one.
Give it to me.
Ugh. The Bad Wife. Yeah, here we go.
Love that.
There once was a bad wife who made life impossible for her husband and disobeyed him in everything. You go, girl.
Emily loves that.
If he told her to rise early, she slept for 3 days. Atta girl. If he told her to sleep, she didn't sleep at all. God, I love her. If her husband asked her to make pancakes, she said, you don't deserve pancakes, you scoundrel. God,
Jesus, yeah.
If her husband said, don't make pancakes, wife, since I don't deserve them, she made an enormous panful, 2 whole gallons of pancakes, and said, now eat, scoundrel, and be sure that all of them are eaten. If he said, wife, do not wash the clothes, nor go out to cut hay. It is too much for you. She answered, no, you scoundrel. I will go, and you shall come with me. Okay, listen, don't like when people tell me what to do, and I will try to do the opposite. So.
Yeah. That's, God, I think you would have caught on to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, what is it called? Reverse psychology.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in hot.
It's working
really
well.
Oh, yeah. One day, after a quarrel with her, he went in distress to the woods to pick berries, found a currant bush, and saw a bottomless pit in the middle of it. As he looked at it, he thought to himself, why do I go on living with a bad wife and struggling with her? Could I not put her in that pit and teach her a lesson? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He went back home and said, wife, do not go to the woods for berries. I shall go, you fool. I found a currant bush. Don't pick it. I shall go and pick it clean. And what is more, I won't give you any currants.
God, yeah. She fucking hates him.
She fucking hates him.
Yeah.
The husband went out. Well, he's standing around telling her what to do all the time.
I'd be
fucking pissed, too.
Leave
me the hell alone. Let me do my thing. Why'd you marry me anyways if you thought I need to be bossed around all the time?
Yeah.
Am I your wife or your kid, bro? I have feelings. The husband went out and his wife followed him. He came to the currant bush and his wife jumped toward it and yelled, "Don't go into that bush, you scoundrel, or I'll kill you."
Jesus. Whoa.
She herself went into the middle of it and fell plop into the bottomless pit. Oh. Bottomless?
Yeah, wait, but plop. Bottomless doesn't plop.
No.
Bottomless just goes forever. No plop. Did you hear plop? No, you didn't. Because she's still going.
Yep.
It's bottomless. Yeah.
Yep, so exactly.
Okay.
Nope. The husband went home happily and lived there in peace for 3 days. On the fourth day, he went to see how his wife was getting along.
Oh, he's going to check on her. That's something. That's
great. He took a long tow rope, let it down into the pit, and dragged out the little imp.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's going to
a little imp.
Oh.
Is it? It's not her.
It's not her. He's going to bring her out of the pit. No, once she's in the pit, you.
She's definitely going to kill you.
Yeah, no,
bro.
That's it, man. Yep. She didn't like you before this.
No, she's definitely going to kill you now. He was frightened and was about to drop him back into the pit when the imp began to shriek and then said imploringly, "Peasant, do not put me back. Let me out into the world. A bad wife has come into our pit."
It's like, your wife's a huge bitch. Please don't send me back down there.
I want to be here. She torments, bites, and pinches all of us. We are sick to death of her. If you let me out, I will do you a good turn.
Oh my god, she just went right down there and started wifing all of them.
Oh
like,
my
badly.
Gosh, I love that.
She's just like, listen, I'm going to disobey all of you right now. Tell me to do
now
something.
Now I have a ton of you I get to disobey. This is so fun. So the peasant let him go free in holy Russia. I can't turn the page.
Oh,
so
God,
bad.
I need
so
to
sorry.
Know. The imp, was he fine? He's in holy Russia.
The imp said,
okay.
Well, peasant, let us go to the town of Vologda. I will make people sick and you shall cure them. Interesting.
Okay, well, yeah, that's
what a
deal.
Turn
of events.
Now the imp set to work on merchants' wives and daughters. He would enter into them and they would go mad and fall ill.
Ill. Yeah, what?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Our peasant would go to the house of the sick woman. The imp would leave. A blessing would come on the house. Everyone thought that the peasant was a doctor, gave him money, fed him pies.
That nice. Okay. I don't have money right now.
No.
Will you accept this pie?
This pie. I love how random folktales are.
Yeah.
They fed him pies, obviously.
I just,
of all
I
things,
love how,
pies.
Wife's in a pit. Now they're impersonating a doctor.
This is,
I don't know.
This has really gone off the rails.
Yeah, but he just came out of that fucking pit and he's fraud. we are going straight to fraud. I've got you. We are partners now and we're doing this. Your wife sucks.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Do you know how much fraud I will do to not go back in that fucking
pit
and be
let's
pinched
go.
By your ex-wife?
Fraudulently, all of Holy Russia.
All of Holy Russia, all of Vologda.
Yeah.
We're going to tell everyone you're a doctor. Yeah. Hey, they didn't even tell him. They assumed.
Okay, well, you know, that's on
and
you.
And they gave him pies. The peasant thus amassed an uncountable sum of money. Then the imp said to him, "You now have plenty, peasant. Are you satisfied? Next, I shall enter a boyer's daughter." I don't like that he's saying he's entering.
I was going to say, yeah, why is he only entering daughters?
I don't like this at all.
No.
And what is a boyer?
I don't know.
Here we go. I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. Yeah, God.
B-O-Y-A-R.
Just saying, enters, you know?
Yeah, that's not the way to say it. A boyar is a member of the old aristocracy in Russia, next in rank to a prince.
Oh, he's okay.
I'm glad we Googled that.
Yeah, he's going. Okay. He's going. He's entering high class daughters.
Oh, yeah. So
now.
This is a duke's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and shit. Mind, you do not come to cure her, else I shall eat you. What's going on? The boyar sent for the peasant, the famous doctor. It's in quotes, doctor.
Yes, because he is just a fucking guy.
He's just some dude. He came to the boyar's beautiful house and told him to have all the townspeople and all the carriages and coachmen gather in the street in front of the house. He gave orders that all the coachmen should crack their whips and cry aloud, "The bad wife has come! The bad wife has come!" Then he went into the sick maiden's room when he came in. Didn't he tell him not to do that?
Right, and he's not curing anybody.
No.
He's don't come, I'm not leaving her.
Yeah.
I'm entering her. Staying there forever. I
don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means. That's the thing. Is this possession?
I don't like it, exactly.
No, I don't know.
It's
not consensual. She did not
whatever.
Say.
Yeah, whatever it is, I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. When he came in, the imp was enraged at him and said, "Why have you come here, Russian man? Now I will eat you." He said, "What do you mean? I've not come to drive you out, but to warn you that the bad wife is here." The imp jumped on the windowsill.
He's like, fuck.
I gotta get out of here. Oh, my God. Jumped on the windowsill, stared fixedly, and listened intently. He heard all the crowd in the street cry in one voice, "The bad wife has come!"
His little ears prick, like, oh, shit. Yeah, like the sheer panic.
She's coming.
Oh, fuck.
God. The fear this woman instills.
Yeah, just from being, like, difficult.
Oh, my God, I love her. "Peasant," said the imp, "where shall I hide?" "Return to the pit. She won't go there again." Clever motherfucker.
Yeah,
The imp went there and joined the bad wife. The boyar rewarded the peasant by giving him half his possessions.
Whoa.
And his daughter in marriage.
Still a fraud.
And he did not get a divorce, so now he is also a polygamist.
Yes, he is.
But the bad wife to this day sits in the pit in nether darkness. I don't know. I feel like she's vibing.
He's just... Oh, yeah, no, she's having a great time. Yeah. It's what, she misses him? No.
No.
Also, like, he's not a doctor. Like, is anyone going to catch on? I guess he doesn't have to doctor anymore, but I feel like that's going to come up.
Right? Like, and they're going to be like, hey, you and your wife's kid is sick.
Yeah.
But no worries. You were once a wonderful doctor.
A wonderful doctor. Cure them.
And he's going to be like, whoop.
I can't.
Can't do it.
So
yeah, see, this seems like an
that
issue.
That has holes.
Seems like this is an Aladdin issue, and Aladdin needs to admit that he wasn't ever actually Ali Ababa.
Oh my God, you guys, that is like, I love Aladdin, first of all, but yeah. I can like barely watch him. Like, if you just fucking said it, she would have been down.
Oh yeah,
she would have been down
the
whole time.
Get go.
Yeah, she would have been like, ooh, okay, yeah. She would have come up with Ali Ababa.
Oh
like,
yeah,
you guys could have. You didn't have to lie.
Yeah.
You didn't have to
You
lie.
Could have, like, gone into, like, when he went to her room on the carpet for the first time,
mm-hmm.
he could have been like, hey, I got a level
Recognize
with you.
Recognize me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm alone.
He could have made it cute. Like, I found a genie. He said, yeah. I could have anything, and I said I wanted you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, for fucking shit sakes.
Yeah, exactly.
She didn't want a real prince anyways.
No, she didn't.
It and literally could
like, but, like, if we keep up this... like charade, yeah. then we could get married.
Everyone's
and live happily
happy.
Ever after. Like, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I also have beef with the fact that he asks to be made a prince,
mm-hmm.
but then he can't marry her because he's not a prince. He's actually just Aladdin. It's like, no, you made him a prince.
Right.
He should be a prince. You didn't ask him to just look
Make
like
me
a
look
prince.
Like a prince.
You asked
right?
to
yeah.
be a prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. Genie, I wish for you to make me
a prince.
That's what he says.
That is like the verbatim quote.
Yes.
Huh.
I beef with that too.
That is annoying.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my Disney beef?
Yeah.
My Disney beef?
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear your Disney beef right now.
Emily already knows. I'm going to tell all of you guys.
Okay, yeah.
It's in Frozen.
Uh-huh.
It's in the song Love is an Open Door. And it's the same person. There's a part in the song
uh-huh.
where how does it go? Oh, I can't think of the line before it, but it's the part where they go, "You and I were just meant to be. They're talking about the same person.
Yes,
like he goes, "You," and Anna goes, "And I." And then they sing,
so
"You're just
both,
meant to be." Like, there's no him, it's just Anna.
Yeah, they're both referring to Anna.
Yeah, it is not "You and I are just meant to be." And
that
it just, I am hoping that they did that on purpose.
Yeah, as like a little like clue of like,
he's a bad guy.
Exactly.
But if
because
they,
they're not meant to.
Yeah, right. But if they didn't, that fucking makes me crazy.
Yeah, that
like,
is
there is
super,
you and
super
I,
annoying.
And they're both, it's the same person.
My other beef.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Okay, I have more beef. Is that why the hell could Ariel not like write a note to Eric
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
when we know she knows how to write because of the way she signed that contract?
Yeah.
And you
that
can
name was
say,
beautiful.
Well, that people who don't know how to write can still write their names oftentimes. Look at the way
yeah.
she signed that.
No.
There's no way.
No,
she knows how to write.
She could have written enough. She could have written her name.
Oh
like,
my God.
We
yes!
know that much. Like,
exactly.
If her name was the only thing she knew how to write, it still would have been a moot point because she could have written down the name and he would have been like, oh, okay, you can't talk, you can't write anything else. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
She could have drawn a fucking picture.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. She could have, at the very least, have drawn something for sure.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, that was just all over the place today. What a fun Folktales episode.
Happy Pisces season.
Happy Pisces.
It's a roller coaster, baby.
And it's Maddie's birthday month. Yay.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, why are the American ones so long?